Let's turn to that story then about misinformation, disinformation, hate speech, a big part of elections potentially in our country. I'm not sure it's as bad as it's been in other places, but we're not the only country. I think this is the year where more countries are having elections than in any other year in the planet's history. But not only that, the largest number of people are actually able to go to the polls than has ever been the case in history. So the IEC has been working with a number of organizations, a number of companies that are very much in the information space to talk about how they can work together to deal with this particular problem. The company Meta Platforms is the parent company of Facebook, but also of WhatsApp and Instagram, and they believe they can start making a real difference in this regard. We welcome then to 702 Drive, Public Policy Director for Africa at Meta, Balkisa Idesido is joining us on 702 Drive. Thank you for your time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So when you say that you've learnt, and this is an interview that you did with Tech Central a little while ago, you say that you've drawn lessons from your involvement in over 200 elections worldwide. There was, of course, a fine levied on Meta, $5 billion in the course of issues arising out of the American elections. You say you've learned lessons. What are the key ones, and what might you do differently, not just in South Africa, but in other places where elections are expected to be fiercely contested?
You're right. We have been involved in over 200 elections globally, and experiences that we have learned since then are actually being used in our approach to the South African election. We have an approach that is comprehensive and that has remained broadly consistent over many years. And actually, no tech company does more or invests more to protect elections online than Meta. We have around 40,000 people working on safety and security, and we have invested more than $20 billion in teams and technology in these areas since 2016. And over the last 8 years, we have rolled out industry-leading transparency tools for ads about election and politics. We develop comprehensive policies to prevent election interference and voter fraud. We also built the largest third-party fact-checking program of any social platform to help combat the spread of misinformation. You asked about the South African election.
Yeah.
We know that these elections...
But before we get on to South Africa, can we just talk a little bit in the general, and then we'll hone in on our country, Ms. Sido. I mean, you spoke about 40,000 people. Typically, what are they doing? And if they see something that contravenes the policies of your various platforms, how exactly do they intervene?
So these 40,000 people are focused solely on safety and security on our platform. So we have what we call community standards, which are publicly available and explain what content is and is not allowed on Facebook and Instagram. So in the case of election, for example, you have a number of community standards that address, for instance, harassment and incitement to violence, but also topics such as, attacks on people based on characteristic like ethnicity, religion, like voter fraud, election interference. So all of those things are taken into account in the community standards. So people working on safety and security, when a content is brought to our attention, what they do is that they analyze the content based on the community standards and they take an action. So if the content is violating, they remove the content. If the content is not violating, they do not take action. Now, when it comes to the action that they take, like when the content is violating, they remove the content. If users continue to post such content on the platform, there are what we call penalties. And that can, lead to people not being able to access the account to post on the platform for a certain number of hours, for a certain number of days, and can even lead to the removal completely from our platform. So the penalties are there, really. And what we try to do is that when these penalties are applied, we also try to educate people. So that's why you will hear people saying that, oh, I can't use my platform for 24 hours, and I got an email. So in that email, we will educate them, actually explain what are the community standards, what are the behaviors to have or not to have on the platform.
So, I mean, you send to somebody who is intentionally doing these things advice on how not to do it. Do we not need to work on the assumption that actually they are doing it because that's exactly what they want to do, and they'll find ways of doing it again? Do you have ways of establishing, for example, if you find that I'm a violator and I'm using the name of Dancing John or whatever? Now, are you able to establish, if I reinvent myself as John, the source of all truth, and create a new account, are there ways of picking that up and closing me down rather more quickly?
So some people, I think it's important to flag here that some people might post content that violates our community standards without doing it intentionally.
Yes.
It could be, for instance, a misinformation that someone forwarded because they got it or they saw it somewhere without knowing it's misinformation. And that is why the work we do with fact checkers is very important. And that is why we aim also, you know, to inform, like to educate people. Because we go with the, we want to, you know, we don't go with the assumption that everyone posting content that violates our community standards are doing it intently.
Right.
But we take the opportunity to educate people. That said, when the content is violating, we take it down. We don't give it a chance to harm anyone or anything. Now, there are people who do it intentionally.
Yes.
And when that's the case, we do take action. And we have tools to detect when they come back on the platform after being after their accounts being closed.
Right. We'll come back to these things and we'll focus then on the specific measures that Meta and others are going to take in regard to the South African election. That in a moment. My guest is Balkisa Idesido, who is Public Policy Director for Africa at the company Meta. It's 19 minutes past four. Okay, a couple of our listeners have got some questions for our guest to reintroduce her. Balkisa Idesido is Public Policy Director for Africa at the company Meta. And Meta, as some of you may or may not know, amongst their properties, WhatsApp, Facebook and Instagram. And we're engaging with Ms. Sido in regard to what they plan to do about misinformation and hate speech and other such potential problems as we draw closer to our national and provincial elections. 072-702-1702. That's where you can send us your thoughts.
Just a question for the Meta lady. If your WhatsApps are encrypted from end to end, how will they know what's been sent over it? Or is it not encrypted anymore? Because if somebody sends something harmful, bad, whatever, across it, they apparently can't read it. But how will they know what's been sent across WhatsApp if it's encrypted? Greg from Pretoria.
Thank you. Good question to get us started in the second part of the interview. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you for the question. So WhatsApp is encrypted end-to-end, meaning nobody, including Meta, can see what people are, you know, the contents of the messages. So, John, if you and I exchange on WhatsApp, Meta will not be able to say what we are talking about.
Right.
Nobody will be able to say it. Now, because Meta, I think it's very important to specify here that WhatsApp is not a social media platform. It's a messaging platform, which is very different from the likes of Facebook and Instagram. So the way WhatsApp is done, our key priority really on the platform is first to maintain the private nature of WhatsApp, prevent coordinated misuse of WhatsApp, and empower users to counteract misinformation. And while WhatsApp doesn't have algorithm that prioritizes the order of messages or channel updates people receive or serve content on a feed, WhatsApp is also does not, you know, like have in-app search or discoverability for unconnected people or groups.
Right.
For you to be able to connect with someone on WhatsApp, you need the person's phone number. So it's assumed that you know the person and you're exchanging. Now, that's say there are still things that we can do and we do when it comes to misinformation and harmful content. you would have noticed, if you use WhatsApp regularly, that a number of product changes have been implemented. For instance, we added friction to how content is shared by reducing the number of people you can forward a message to just 5 chats, and the number of people you can send a highly forwarded message to just 1 chat at once. And you will see when you receive a message that's been forwarded on WhatsApp that it has a label, either marking it forwarded or highly forwarded.
Right.
And that's actually, it's to let the reader, the receiver, know that the person who sent the message is actually not the person who generated the message, but the person got it from somewhere.
Right.
So the person would be even more, cautious when reading it. So like, John, yes, you send me a message. I know you. I trust you. But if I see it forwarded, I will be like, it's not John actually who wrote this. John got it from somewhere and forwarded. So I would then pause and ask myself about the content that I received.
Right.
And the other thing also is that on WhatsApp, we ban mass messages outright. And we use machine learning to identify and ban accounts that engage in mass messaging. And every month, we actually ban around 8 million accounts on WhatsApp.
So if we could conclude then with just your specific involvement in the South African election and the agreement you've reached with the IEC, what exactly are you going to be doing in this country between now and, you know, early June?
So we know that not two elections are the same, right?
Right.
So we learned from the 200 elections we've been working on globally. And in South Africa in particular, our strategy is really based on 4 pillars, I would say. Number one is to take action against harmful content. We talked about the community standards. In addition to them, what we are doing is that we're going to run a South Africa-specific Election Operations Center, and that is going to bring together experts from across the company, including threat intelligence, data scientists, engineers, researchers, people from operations, legal teams. My team, public policy, will also be involved. And this operations center, a bit like a war room, would actually be monitoring the platform real time to address potential abuses on our platform. The second pillar is combating misinformation. And we talked about the largest independent fact-checking platform that we put in place. In South Africa, I mean, the platform globally, we work with nearly 100 partners across the world.
Right.
And they cover content in more than 60 languages. In Africa specifically, in South Africa specifically, we work with Africa Check and AFP. And they fact-check content in a number of languages, including English, Africans, Zulu, Soto, and Setswana. What they do is that when they get a content that is potentially misinformation, they will assess it, they will rate it. If the content is rated as false,
yes,
or, you know, misleading, what we are going to do is that they are going to debunk. So they will write an article explaining why it's not right information. And we are going, as Meta, on Facebook, Instagram, we'll apply a label, notifying the reader that this information is not correct and has been fact-checked. So when people see the content, they will see that label. They can click on it to access, actually, the article written by the fact-checker. But I want to point something here, is that if the content violates our community standard, it's actually going to be removed. So not even fact-checked. It will be removed right away.
Thank you so much. Fascinating. Balkisa Idesido is with Meta. She's the Public Policy Director for Africa, joining us here on 702 Drive. I mean, I'm encouraged by what I hear. I have to say, I don't know enough about the processes and how quickly they can move and at what scale.